Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Now, nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter of a tank of gas if you're lucky. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today, and if you do it today, you save an additional 50% off your first month. They use the same 5G network, same cell towers as the big carriers, and most families saving close to $1,000 a month. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, that's Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. Hey, Sean Hannity here. If you're in a situation where you feel threatened, well, instinct, that might drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. But we all want to avoid the irreversible consequences of using deadly force. Now, enter the Byrner Less Lethal Pistol Launcher. It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo. It can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks, and it can be shipped right to your door. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity right now, and you'll get 10% off.
Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep-healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. All right, glad you're with us. Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza headline on Drudge right now. I know we got a lot going on in the president's financial plan to cut taxes. Oh, by the way, Trump signs an order to review education rules. Of course, he wants to send education back to the states, which is a great idea. Do we really want? All right, let's listen in quick. Let's dip in quick.
To welcome all of them to the White House. It's a great honor. Thank you very much. I also want to thank members of Congress, local leaders, and governors for joining us here today, including Governor Ivey of Alabama, a new and great governor. Fantastic. I've been hearing about you for years in the most positive way, so I'm not surprised that you're governor of Alabama. Congratulations. Tremendous. Governor Branstad, who is soon going to be heading out, I suspect, to a place called China. They love him, I will tell you. They really love the soon-to-be ambassador, but he also loves China. So it was a good combination. I was really happy to put it together. They're looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Governor. Governor LePage of Maine, Governor Sandoval of Nevada, Governor Herbert of Utah, Governor Meade of Wyoming. We want to thank you all and everyone else for being with us. It's really an honor to have you in the White House. For too long, the federal government has imposed its will on state and local governments. The result has been education that spends more and achieves far, far, far less. My administration has been working to reverse this federal power grab and give power back to families, cities, states, give power back to localities. Before this administration, only one time in our nation's history had a president signed a bill that used the Congressional Review Act to cancel a federal regulation. In less than 100 days, I have signed 13 such congressional resolutions to cancel federal regulations and give power back to the people. And I'm very honored to have done so. As you said, five have come from your committee. That's exactly right. Good job. I think she's done a good job. I've also signed over a dozen executive actions that reverse federal intrusion and empower local communities. The executive order I'm signing today is another critical step to restoring local control, which is so important. This executive order directs Secretary DeVos to review current federal regulations and ensure that they don't obstruct the ability of states, local governments, teachers, and most importantly, parents to make the best decision for their students and, in many cases, for their children. Previous administrations have wrongfully forced states and schools to comply with federal whims and dictate what our kids are taught. But we know that local communities do it best and know it best. The time has come to empower parents and teachers to make the decisions that help their students achieve success. That's what this executive order is all about. So important. Thomas Jefferson put it best when he said, "I believe the states can best govern our home concerns." With this executive order and the many actions we have taken in less than 100 days, we are providing our states and communities with control over the matters that are most important to them. Together, we are going to fight to give our children the bright and beautiful future they deserve. So I want to thank you all. As you know, I'm heading over to a Senate meeting. That's a very important meeting. So I'll be leaving now. But I just wanted to introduce our really exceptional education secretary. She's caught on. You wouldn't believe it. All of the great things I'm hearing about you, Betsy. I'm very proud. So Secretary Betsy DeVos, thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, we'll leave it there. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm thinking, you know, we wrote this, Linda, back in when? I think it was end of 2013, after the loss of Mitt Romney, the 2012 election. And I'd been saying, and in the lead up to the 2014 midterms, remember, oh, Ted Cruz. By the way, Ted Cruz has the greatest idea. He said, well, let's use the $14 billion that was seized from El Chapo to fund the border wall. What a great, great idea. And so I'm thinking back and I'm looking, okay, I just heard the president talk about something that I have believed we need to do forever. Why is Washington, D.C. and all of those twisted bureaucrats involved in the education of our kids? Do you really want them involved? Do you really want Common Core? Or do you think the people who would do the best job in education would be moms and dads and local school boards and communities? You know, my buddy Keith for years was on the school board. His wife, Lori, is now on the school board. I told her, I'm not going to vote for you. I'm doing you a favor. Who wants to be on a school board? It's you got to sit through these monotonous meetings and oh, my God. But the people that do it, God bless them, because they care so much about the issue of education and being involved in their community and their kids. No, I'm a horrible person, right, to say that. I actually said to her, I won't vote for you. And she goes, why? What? I said, if I vote for you, you're going to win, and I don't want you to win because your life's going to be miserable and you're going to thank me later. She ended up winning. It was like her husband ended up winning for a number of years. And I'd say, Keith, let's go out to dinner tonight. No, I got a school board meeting. I'm like, great, shoot me. I'm so happy to hear that, as if we don't have enough going on in our lives. But he did it.
Anyway, so, you know, so I think back to what I called Conservative Solution Caucus that we designed. We released it. We called CSC 2014. And I had a list of things for the midterm election in 2014 that I wanted the Republican Party to run on. By the way, one of the items was education, school choice, sending education back to the states, eliminating Common Core. Donald Trump just fulfilled another big promise today in moving that ball forward. You know, I've talked about the economy. They talked earlier today, 15% corporate tax rate. We're going to move from 7 brackets to 3. We're going to allow repatriated money, multinational corporations, American corporations that have parked their money overseas because we have the highest corporate tax rate in the industrialized world. Now we'll go to one of the lowest in the industrialized world. And what will that do? That will incentivize corporations to invest in factories and manufacturing centers in Detroit, in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, in Ohio, in Cleveland, in Cincinnati, Dayton, and all over Pennsylvania, in Philly, and everywhere else in the country that desperately needs jobs. Just because Trump's been president 100 days doesn't mean we still don't have 95 million Americans out of the workforce and 50 million Americans in poverty and 50 million Americans on food stamps. They still exist in their current position. Anyway, so it's very frustrating on so many levels, but we can turn this around. And I'm watching the media coverage. They so hate Donald Trump. They so hate anybody like me that supports him. As you know, they just all they want to do is take this man down. I go back to the email that I sent to somebody that was going to work for the president, and I wrote it to them during the transition. I said, let me warn you, they're not going to be happy until this president is destroyed, until he's either impeached, removed from office, arrested, handcuffed, perp walked, mugshotted, and put in jail. That's how much they hate Trump. But in the process of making their way up the ladder to get to the president, who's probably the hardest to get to, they're going to want as much collateral damage as possible. I would argue, you know, part of that collateral damage, there was it was against me in the last week. This was an attempt to take me out. This was a kill shot pointed right at my head. 2 days after O'Reilly's fired, you know, from an incident, I found out this, I think the show was in 2003. So 2 days after O'Reilly's fired, this individual says that I asked this individual to go back to my hotel. We're about 95% sure I didn't even have a hotel then, because we had a plane and we flew right out after the event. It's just an interesting side note. We're working on getting that fully confirmed now. But, you know, they want Fox News away because Fox News and talk radio, that's it for the president. It's the only place he's getting a fair shot today. And it's sort of like when the Tea Party was attacked beginning in 2010, when its formation by 2012, they wanted him out of the way and they wanted him distracted. So they used the IRS as a weapon. So all these people, they couldn't be out there doing what they did and raising money to help Mitt Romney in that particular year because they were under audit by the IRS. You know what it's like to be under audit by the IRS? I do. It sucks. It sucks. And all it is a full-time distraction. So these groups, then you can't raise money because your tax status is in limbo. So we put together, what do we put together? Okay, the penny plan, balancing the budget, lower tax rates, corporate tax rates, 7 brackets to 3 brackets they're moving towards, repatriated money, talked at length about that. We finally have an announcement today. They have come up with a plan, Louis Gohmert supporting it, where they're going to drop premiums, and I'm shocked at what just broke because Paul Ryan, oh my gosh, you got to see the Trump tweet on Paul Ryan today. It's pretty unbelievable and pretty amazing that he said, quote, oh, I can't find it. Find that quote, that Paul Ryan may be waiting for Mike Pence to become president. Ooh, that was pretty painful. Anyway, the Democrats are fighting. I told you yesterday, Republicans are afraid of their own shadow. Democrats are adamant that they don't want to appropriate a nickel for the Trump border wall, and we're going to have a government shutdown in 3 days. So Trump said, all right, we'll put it off, not the CR, but don't listen to fake news. We're building that wall. He has to build the wall. That was one of the main promises he made, build that wall. So he'll build it. He'll get the money for it. Anyway, finally, after yesterday, Paul Ryan has announced that there won't be a nickel in spending for Obamacare subsidies in the CR. Finally, the first sign of life in the House of Representatives. That coupled with the fact is now the Freedom Caucus, and I have their announcement here and I'll read it to you later, they have said they have now come to agreement with all the varying caucuses and coalitions within the House Republican group, and that they've got a health care bill. And I'll tell you what Mark Meadows said about that later. All right, we'll also get a lot of your calls in the course of the program. We've got a big, big immigration debate today. We have another judge shop case where a judge puts a hold on the president's actions on sanctuary cities. Well, that basically is allowing cities and towns to aid and abet criminal aliens. And then you'll even meet a father that lost his son because a criminal alien who had kidnapped a woman and held her hostage for a week was released and not sent back to his home country. How would you feel if it was your kid killed? And there's tons of those stories. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show. So I'm looking at everything that they're doing today, and the president now sending education back to the states, and the economy, and the 15% corporate rate, and repatriation, and seven brackets to three. You add it to all the accomplishments that the media won't tell you. Well, we have an originalist on the Supreme Court from the list Trump gave us. You know, a president that's calling and telling corporations, no, stay here because the regulations are going away and they're going away. He's signing them away. He's repealing and gutting Obama-era regulations and promising this significant tax cut to incentivize corporations to build factories and manufacturing centers. I mean, the fact that we're now moving towards energy independence, ending the war on coal, allowing it to, so we can drill and frack and do all of the above and be energy independent, not import oil from countries like Saudi Arabia, countries in the Middle East that hate us. That's huge. Huge. In spite of the sanctuary city order, which we'll debate later in the program today, we have a 17-year low in terms of illegal immigrants coming into the country. President's fighting sanctuary cities, but of course they go judge shopping and we lose temporarily anyway. President said, I'll see you in the Supreme Court. The president's drafted a plan to defeat ISIS. He's draining the swamp, a 5-year lobbying ban. I was very happy. He actually said today he may get rid of and scrap the horrific Iranian deal that Obama made. But he's already put sanctions on Iran over their missile program, sanctions on Syria because of their chemical weapons use. You know, he responded to Syria's use of chemical weapons with the Tomahawk missiles. We know that he's created a task force to reduce crime, maybe now less death in Chicago, hopefully at some point. Signed an executive order to protect cops. Thank God, maybe they won't be under fire the way they have been, acting stupidly, you know. Or look what happened in Ferguson. Look what happened in Baltimore. President that's supposed to be a lawyer rushing to judgment without any facts or evidence, no assumption of innocence, presumption of innocence. He's moving on the border wall. Already are building the plans for it. Announces his tax reform today. The Freedom Alliance, I'll get to this when we get back, announced their support for the health care bill. That means we're going to get the repeal and replacement of Obamacare on some level. He's trying to do his extreme vetting. We're rebuilding the military. We're shrinking the government workforce and renegotiating trade deals. And America's on a path to energy independence. I don't know if you could do better in 100 days. Congress needs a kick in the ass, but that is separate and apart from what the president's doing. That's why their approval ratings are whopping 12%. We'll continue. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Toll-free telephone numbers, 800-941-SEAN. We'll get into the sanctuary city, San Francisco judge once again. And it's unbelievable. It's you look at this one guy, you know, Obama supporting, Obama donor, Obama loving. Judge, I won't legislate from the bench. Yeah, right. And this one guy now, it basically has legalized aiding and abetting criminal aliens. Because if you can't punish cities that allow these criminal aliens to go free and they go out and kill, why isn't it possible to sue these cities for being complicit when these criminal aliens are not deported and the law is not enforced? And they aid and abet these criminal aliens and then innocent people die. Why aren't they held financially responsible? You don't think that's a good idea? Well, imagine just for a second that a criminal alien, you'll meet this father in the next hour, a criminal alien that was convicted of kidnapping, holding hostage a woman for a week, gets released from jail, and then is set free and not sent out of the country, and then goes kills your son or daughter. Because that happened in the case of Grant Ronnebeck, 21-year-old kid working in Mesa, Arizona at a convenience mart. I mean, it's unbelievable. Anyway, the House Freedom Caucus today, I got to give a lot of credit to Mark Meadows, Jim Jordan, and Louis Gohmert, Dave Bratt. These guys have been fantastic. The only reason that we got the health care bill done, and I could tell you for a fact that I know this is the truth, my inside sources, because I talk to these guys almost daily, some of them, and every day they were working on the president's behalf to get this big promise to the point where they would bring the different factions and coalitions within the Republican Party in the House together and get this bill done. Now, you're never going to get a perfect bill when you have moderate Republicans, and then you have the study group Republicans, then the Tuesday group Republicans, then the Freedom Caucus, then the let's go out and get wasted on Saturday night Republicans. I made that group up. But you have all these coalition groups. The fact that the leadership, it really is their responsibility, not Mark Meadows' responsibility, but it's really theirs to let people read the bill ahead of time. I hope with all these pending bits of legislation, they're not going to make the same mistake and make everything 50,000 times harder than it needs to be. Build a coalition ahead of time on the budget, on the tax plan, on all the other pieces of legislation that the president is now trying to get done. He's doing his part. I just ran through a list of accomplishments in 100 days. It's pretty impressive. Anyway, the House Freedom Caucus announced their support for the health care bill with the MacArthur Amendment. And anyway, they released the following statement. Over the past couple of months, House conservatives have worked tirelessly to improve the American Health Care Act to make it better for the American people. Now, they go on to say, due to improvements to the American health care bill and the addition of Representative Tom MacArthur's proposed amendment, the House Freedom Caucus has taken an official position in support of the current proposal. Remember, President Paul Ryan, they're all pressuring the Freedom Caucus, and the Freedom Caucus stood strong. Now it's a better bill. Good for them. They said the MacArthur Amendment will grant states the ability to repeal cost-driving aspects of Obamacare left in place under the original AHCA. While the revised version still does not fully repeal Obamacare, by the way, neither did the 2015 bill, as a side note, we are prepared to support this bill to keep our promise to the American people and lower health care costs. We look forward to working with our Senate colleagues to improve the bill. Our work will continue until we fully repeal Obamacare. The House Caucus mission statement says the House Freedom Caucus gives a voice to countless Americans who feel that Washington does not represent them. By the ding, 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 I'm one of those peoples. I'm one of those peeps. Everyone that works for me is one of those peeps. It's funny. We support open, accountable, limited government, the Constitution, the rule of law, policies that promote the liberty, safety, and prosperity of all Americans. Well, that's what I believe in. It's sad it's not a little bit more perfect. I can't believe we have all these moderate Republicans that have as much sway in the House as they do. But anyway, Heritage Action has now also withdrawn their key vote against the American Health Care Act if the MacArthur-Meadows Amendment, as currently understood and drafted, is adopted. Our full statement from our CEO is below. And so, you know, what did I say in the beginning? That they needed to get these conservative think tanks because these people are smart. They should have been involved in the process, you know, for a long time. This bill should have been ready to go the day that Trump was sworn into office, but it wasn't. Anyway, Matt Drudge has created a bit of a firestorm. Shocking. No, he creates a firestorm pretty much every day. Paul Ryan's strategy is waiting for Vice President Pence to get sworn in as president. Ouch. He wrote that on Twitter. He deserves criticism. The rollout of this health care bill is just unforgivable after 8 years of give us the House, give us the Senate, give us the presidency. And he really didn't support President Trump. When I went to interview him, I played it yesterday. I won't play it again today. He said he supported him. I do got to give Ryan some props today because, you know, Democrats, for example, were adamant on the CR. Otherwise, the government shuts down this week. And Republicans were always fearful when Obama was president. They get blamed for government shutdown. So they were demanding that the CR not include a penny for the Trump border wall. Now, Ryan finally showed some backbone here and announced that there won't be a nickel in spending in the CR for Obamacare subsidies. Washington Examiner reports that legislation to fund the government will not have a provision guaranteeing money to fund Obamacare subsidies, even as the White House officials were negotiating with Democrats who were pushing to include the subsidies. Good. Let's see if they stand strong. You know, Congress needs to pay attention. Everyone talks about the president's poll numbers. Well, the president would win the popular vote today, according to the latest polls. Beat Hillary by a pretty significant amount. Maybe even win more states. Congress's approval is a disaster. Their performance is up, let's see, nearly three quarters of Americans disapprove of Congress's job. It's only getting worse because they're not keeping their promises and they don't seem prepared to lead. By the way, the president and Mike Pence are keeping their pro-life promises, which I think is pretty good. And, you know, there's still a lot of work to do. I was very happy with the president's announcement today with Secretary of Education DeVos, now pushing education back to the states and the first step towards eliminating Common Core. I mean, in many ways, I think you can actually argue, I don't think you can have a better 100 days of your Donald Trump, even with all the hatred, the antipathy, the absolute unhingement. By the way, Mark Meadows also told Breitbart News, we will repeal most aspects of Obamacare by the end of May. That's a pretty good timeline for me. Anyway, there was talk that some of this may actually take place tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see what happens, but it certainly would be a milestone that has long been in the wait here. You know, by the way, other presidents have not been as scrutinized as this president in terms of getting legislation passed. And, you know, you got to remember, in 2009, Obama had a lot of things teed up, but it took presidents like Reagan and others many, many months to get their legislation through. By the way, big props today to Senator Ted Cruz. What a great idea. He introduced a bill calling for the use of $14 billion seized from cartel drug lord El Chapo to be used to pay for the president's border wall between the U.S. and Mexico. I think that's a great idea. He said $14 billion will go a long way towards building a wall. By the way, looks like Mexico will pay for it. In a roundabout way, I think that's a great idea. We're going to get into this judge's order coming up. A lot of things happening on the national security front. I think one of the underreported successes of Donald Trump is on foreign policy. I mean, since he's been president, he's met with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, King Abdullah of Jordan, the Prime Minister of Israel, the President of Egypt, El-Sisi. He also used the Tomahawk missiles to stop chemical weapons. He's moved further as it relates to Iran than any president in modern time and has taken on them, which I think is very important. And I think that's going to be a huge win for the president in the end. But, you know, think of how well he got along with the Chinese president. He's supposed to have two meetings that lasted a half hour. They all go on nearly 5 hours. Nobody in the media reports it. Chinese president goes home. First thing he does is put 175,000 troops on the Korean border to deal with North Korea, help us with North Korea. Sends back coal that was coming from North Korea to China. Imports American coal in its place. And then from there, he says, yeah, we're open to better trade agreements that would be more fair to America. Uh-huh. This is pretty amazing. Now, Beijing is now threatening North Korea with, quote, great losses if they dare to conduct another nuclear test. Now, the UK Daily Express. Now, you got to understand, they actually reported that China has now finally lost patience with Kim Jong-un, who is readying himself for war, and warning the little chubby despot and dictator that another nuclear weapons test would push their relations beyond the point of no return. Now, by the way, this is China's region of the world. This impacts them more than it does us. He doesn't have ICBMs. We shouldn't be the ones that have to take out his nuclear sites. More should Bill Clinton have been the one to give him the money and assure the American people that he'd never get nuclear weapons. But anyway, the Chinese government also warned that should war break out, it's going to be Pyongyang that's going to suffer the most. Anyway, the president of China is clearly worried that about nuclear war breaking out in the region. They should be. This guy's a nut. And he's pleading with Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un to have restraint. Now, the editorial was in the Global Times that's widely regarded as the mouthpiece of the Communist Party in China. And they said the game of chicken between Washington and Pyongyang has come to a breaking point, and then added, if North Korea conducts another nuclear missile test, it's more likely than ever the situation will cross the point of no return. I wonder if the president of China was told by Trump, if they keep it up, we're going in. They're going to get hit hard. Now, the danger is once somebody has nuclear weapons, thank you very much, Bill Clinton, what does that mean for Seoul and South Korea? Anyway, the piece continued. All stakeholders will bear the consequences. Pyongyang sure to suffer the greatest losses. You know, the president's also responding to Putin with F-35 fighters after Putin, U.S. Air Force dispatching F-35A fighters to Estonia to reassure their European allies days after Russian bombers flew near the coast of Alaska. They got North Korea saber-rattling with large-scale artillery drills as U.S. submarines now docks in South Korea. It's definitely getting ugly out there. The U.S. has also moved the THAAD anti-missile systems to South Korea and deployment to South Korea, triggering protests from villagers and criticism from China. But what are we supposed to do? Apparently, Russia, too, is ready to send ground troops to Syria. Japan is now, because they're obviously in such close proximity to North Korea, they're warning their citizens they might have only 10 minutes to prepare for a North Korean missile. Great. Trump said the U.S. may dump the nuclear deal with Iran, which I think is a good idea, and the U.S. Navy fired warning flares at an Iranian vessel in the Persian Gulf. Here's the good news. I don't think anybody, I certainly didn't anticipate Trump getting along this well with the president of China. Now, you may say, well, China's the communist. Okay, but isn't it better to have allies than enemies? Isn't it better that we can say to China, hey, deal with North Korea. Stop it. That's a win for the United States. Just like the president, because of this bad Iranian deal, I mean, a number of alliances are emerging. The Israelis and the Saudis, the Israelis and the Egyptians, the Israelis and the Jordanians. None of these countries want and know the consequences of Iranian hegemony in the region. So if Jordan and Egypt and Israel and the Saudis and the United States stand against Iran, I think we could take out those nuclear weapon sites and prevent the number one state sponsor of terror and mullahs to get nuclear weapons. Who knows? That may go down as Trump's greatest legacy in the end. Very dangerous times. 800-941-SHAWN. We'll get to this horrific court order in San Francisco on sanctuary cities in a minute.
And so you will do your best to hold the seat open.
Absolutely.
We are the party of opposition, and that is our job.
It gets to a point where they're just not doing their job.
I did not hear better ideas coming out of the Democrats.
Right.
They were just delaying, and they were saying this is just wrong.
You would not sit down with President-elect Trump if he invited you to the White House?
Oh, no. I won't go. I'm not going to sit down with him. I'm not going to go.
Each new president coming into office was allowed to get his cabinet in place. Donald Trump deserves the same.
The party of Pelosi is trying to block every initiative President Trump wants to institute. But will that backfire?
But what could you work with the President Trump?
Well, first of all, we're not working with anybody who says we're going to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
First of all, if you look at the promises he made on immigration, you have border crossings down by 70%. You look at TPP, one of the first executive orders the president signed was getting out of TPP. You look at ethics. That was one of the bullet points you had. Every employee of the West Wing signed an ethics pledge that said you're not going to lobby for 5 years after you leave this place, and you're never going to lobby for a foreign country. Look at Neil Gorsuch. First 100 days, a Supreme Court justice is sworn in. First time since 1881. And if you just give me 1 minute, and I won't drone on, but this idea about major legislation not being passed within the first 100 days. Barack Obama had a pre-baked stimulus package that started in October mm-hmm. of the election year, which was passed in February. It was pre-baked. George Bush didn't get any major legislation until June. Clinton, August 10th. Bush, 41, a year and a half later. Reagan, okay. August 13th. Carter, 658 days after he took office. Nixon, 1 year. Johnson, 225 days. Here's the deal. The president signed over 28 bills already. Health care may happen next week. It may not. We're hopeful it will. As far as border, you said the military. We have right now in the CR negotiating one of the biggest increases in military spending in decades. So he is fulfilling his promises and doing it at breakneck speed.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941. Sean is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. That's great context. If you listen to the media, oh, Trump's 100 days of disaster. And I'm like, no, it's not 100 days of disaster. Now, Congress could be moving a little more quickly. And frankly, the fact that their approval rating is so low, like 12%, as I pointed out yesterday, is indicative of them not being prepared for the moment that they were begging for, which was they want to lead. And if you look at the president's accomplishments, well, I think it's fairly significant on a whole variety of issues. I mean, here's a president that put an originalist on the Supreme Court, who personally made calls to so many companies that have promised Fiat, Chrysler, Ford, GM, Carrier, and the list goes on, all of these different companies that are now building and promising to spend billions of dollars and create hundreds of thousands of millions of jobs ultimately. He's gotten rid of the Obama-era regulations that have been so burdensome to business. He's ended the war on coal and put the country on a path towards energy independence, all things he can do on his own. The lowest level of illegal immigration in 17 years by enforcing the laws. He's trying to fight back against sanctuary cities. He lost that court case yesterday, which we'll get into in more detail a little later on in the program today. He's moving forward with a plan to take on radical Islam and defeat ISIS. He's brought ethics back to Washington with a 5-year lobbying ban. He sanctioned not only the Iranians over their missile program, but now Syria over the use of chemical weapons. He responded forcefully with a real red line to Syria's use of chemical weapons. He's created a task force to reduce crime. He signed executive orders to protect police and target drug cartels. Never mind the relationships that he's building with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, King Abdullah of Jordan, the President of Egypt, El-Sisi, the Prime Minister of Israel, and the President of China, which I think is probably the most surprising development on the foreign policy front in a long time, as now the Chinese newspaper is saying, putting North Korea on warning if, God forbid, they ever have another nuclear test. I mean, the fact that the Chinese, after the Chinese president met with the president, goes back and puts 175,000 troops on the border, returns coal that was being imported from North Korea, and then imports American coal, and openly says, yes, we're open to negotiation as it relates to trade, etc. I mean, these are significant accomplishments. The process of moving forward with the border wall is ongoing. We've got the tax reform plan that was announced today, earlier today. We now have the Freedom Caucus and the Heritage Action Group now supporting the coalition plan to repeal and replace Obamacare. President's trying to fulfill his promise on vetting people from foreign countries, those countries that have ties or associations with radical groups. He's cut government spending. He's shrinking the government workforce. He's moving forward, negotiating better trade deals. And we're now on the path to energy independence. Pretty significant 100 days, if you ask me, by anybody's measure. Two other interesting poll points. One is only 2% of 98% of the people that voted for him would vote for him again. And if the election were held today, he'd win the popular vote over Hillary Clinton. Anyway, John McLaughlin, pollster, founder, McLaughlin & Associates, Doug Schoen, pollster, author, political analyst, Fox News contributor. Welcome both of you back to the program. Thanks. You know,
thanks, Sean.
Just so you know, I think I was the most right on the election of all of us.
You said 50-50. I said 60-40.
Yeah, you did, I think, at the
40,
end.
40-60.
But, you know, we saw an opening, and what opened my eyes, and everybody in the media, I think, was at like 10%, like 3% that he could win. I mean,
well, I had inside information. So, you know, I was polling for him, so we saw the polls. But Doug didn't argue. Doug could see that he could win, too.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And, you know, so it was there. And by the way, we were fortunate that out of the 139 million votes, you know, 78,000 voters in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania made the electoral difference. And it was the biggest upset in the history of the country in terms of beating an establishment and their candidates.
All right, so 42% of likely voters think the country's headed in the right direction. Trump has never particularly polled well, and he's always outperformed the polls. Is that a pretty accurate statement, John McLaughlin?
Yes. And first of all, you know, in this first 100 days, the kind of success he's having, you're seeing how crazy the left-wing opposition is going. I want to give kudos to you. They've even come after you with an unfounded smear. And I know you from working with you as a person of character and integrity, and I've seen you, you're a family man, I've seen you... You work great with people like even my cousin Linda McLaughlin you do great with. But they even came after you, and they're going nuts now because for the last 4 years, two-thirds of Americans thought the country was on the wrong track. And now Trump's moving it into the right direction. In fact, on the economy, they say 53%. Our poll that we're about to release, they say 53% to 34%. The economy's getting better. The president's job rating has moved into net positive territory. In our poll, 49 to 46%. And they think they're more optimistic that things are getting better. So he's now acting on it. And even as, you know, just before we've done this radio show, he's released a tax cut plan that will provide jobs and economic growth and move the country ahead. And we just got to get Congress to back his plans and get these things done.
Yeah. Where are you seeing the president, the approval ratings, the polls, his success, Doug, showing?
You know, a little bit lower than John in the low to mid 40s, but it's less of an issue than you might think because the country is so polarized that basically what Trump is doing is governing, as you suggested, Sean, to his base, and his base is largely, if not totally, happy. And as you alluded to, and John did too, the Democratic left is off the charts, crazy, and they're not a credible alternative. So there really is not an alternative set of politics or policies to confront Trump. But let me do what somebody in my position should do, provide free advice to the president. If he harnesses the optimism that is now emerging, the sense that the economy is improving, and he can turn that into a narrative, you will see the numbers improve and improve dramatically. He's yet to do that, and that could change things. I think, John, you might agree, and that could get things to tip from the what you have in your poll at 50-50, others have sort of 60-40 against. That could really mobilize the numbers on his behalf.
Yeah, I fully agree. You did that for President Clinton back in the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Trump is in a better situation in terms of the economy.
Yeah. I want to pick up on one thing that Sean mentioned, the media polls. You know, the last four elections, the average Republican turnout was 34%. The average Democrat turnout was 36% of the electorate. And the only time the Democrats had a six-point lead was the one time in 2012 when Romney lost to Obama. Those media polls, if you go on Real Clear Politics, their average, those media polls, the last nine had an average Republican count of 27%. There were only two that had Republicans over 30%. And most of them are cheap polls that are being done among adults, not even registered voters. And they've got the Democrats with an average seven-point lead. So they're suppressing the president's numbers. It's like the media bias. The same polls that said he can't win and Hillary's got an electoral lock, these same polls right now are saying that the president has his lowest historic job approval. Well, when Washington Post has only 24% Republicans, or The Economist only 23% Republicans, or Quinnipiac 23%, they are purposely lowering the president's numbers because in our polls, the president has a job approval of 90-9 among Republicans. So every point you take off the Republicans out of a poll, you're taking a president's down, his ratings down by a point. And they're doing it intentionally. Otherwise, they just can't get, maybe the Trump voters are hanging up because they know it's the biased liberal media. But they're doing it intentionally. They're not this stupid.
Don't you think that this is all going to backfire? I'll ask you guys that when we come back. In other words, the out out of control hostility by the media has just gotten so way over the top that I just see a backlash and people aren't even listening to it anymore. It's now become noise and it's viewed as hysteria. And, you know, Democrats just never supporting a thing the president does. I don't think that helps them because they're not offering the country solutions. And we still have the problems that we were debating during the election. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back more with John McLaughlin, Doug Schoen, our pollsters. Also, a lot more coming up today, including Congressman Andy Biggs and Steve Ronnebeck will join us. He's the father of Grant Ronnebeck. His 22-year-old son was killed by an illegal immigrant who had kidnapped a woman and literally kept her hostage for a week, and he raped her. And he was in jail. Then they just let him back on the streets. Crazy. As we talk about the sanctuary city issue. All right, Sean Hannity Show, as we continue with our pollsters, John McLaughlin and Doug Schoen. Doug, you've seen the left in the past unhinged. I've never seen it this bad.
Neither have I. I wish I could disagree with you, Sean. I'd like to be able to defend what I used to call my party. But candidly, I'm not a Republican, but I'm sure not with this crowd, with Bernie Sanders and the resistance people. I mean, this is nuts.
Well, what about the Trump derangement syndrome? What about look at how, for example, Republicans, they were always fair when it came to the filibuster and the Byrd rule and cloture on Supreme Court justices and nominees. Harry Reid changed that rule in 2013. They won't even give this president an up or down vote on a mainstream justice for the Supreme Court. So Republicans now are forced to use, the nuclear option because they had no choice. And that's just how hostile the Democrats are now. Doesn't this backfire because they're not offering solutions to the country?
Sean, that's been my point, which is what people want are alternative policies. What I would have thought the Democrats would have done on health care would be to offer some fixes to Obamacare. Say, this is our alternative. It's better than what the Republicans have come up with. Instead, they're just saying no, no, no to everything. And I think the American people and the party suffer as a result.
Let me ask you this, John, because, I wrote a note to somebody who went to work in the Trump White House, and the note was simple. It was like, you've got to understand the left is not going to be happy unless they impeach Donald Trump, stop his agenda. Hopefully they'll get him mugshotted and perp walked and handcuffed and put in jail. And I said, you got to know that on their way to trying to get the president, because they're so unhinged, they're going to want as much collateral damage as possible. I think in part that's where a lot of these attacks against me are coming from, because I support the president. And, Fox is a fair outlet, the only fair outlet in the country, in my opinion, to the president, and talk radio, too. So in the process, how do the American people begin to absorb and view all of this?
Well, it's going to backfire, because in spite of all the negative media coverage and the spin, you're seeing more and more Americans saying the country's moving in the right direction. They're optimistic about the economy. They're feeling safer and more secure. They're feeling America stronger. The bad part for the Democrats, the really bad part for the Democrats is they've become the Chuck Schumer saboteurs, where they'd rather keep open borders where criminals and drug dealers are coming into the country and have that going on than securing the border. They're more likely to keep us weak as far as terrorists, so they're allowing terrorists in the country, or they're putting Americans at risk than keep us safe. They're also now, with President Trump coming out with this great tax cut plan to grow the economy, create jobs, give people pay raises, they're going to try to scuttle that. The middle class, they're going to see through that. What's going to happen is the president's going to pick up momentum as he focuses on policies. You've seen it before. We've talked to him together, where you say, stick to the issues, stick to the policies. His numbers go up. And that's what I'm seeing in our latest poll.
And the people that are getting hit the hardest are the ones that deserve it. Congress, that doesn't seem like they were prepared for the moment, but... All right, guys, we'll bring you back at least every 50-100 days, and we'll get a pulse of where the president and his administration stands with the American people. John McLaughlin and Doug Schoen, thank you both for being with us. When we come back, Congressman Andy Biggs, Steve Ronnebeck, we're going to talk about this court ruling yesterday. Yeah, of course, sanctuary cities protected by a liberal jurist out in San Francisco. What a shocker.
Congress.
At the same time, my administration has answered the pleas of the American people for immigration enforcement and border security. By finally enforcing our immigration laws, we will raise wages, help the unemployed, save billions and billions of dollars, and make our communities safer for everyone. We want all Americans to succeed, but that can't happen in an environment of lawless chaos. We must restore integrity and the rule of law at our borders. For that reason, we will soon begin the construction of a great, great wall along our southern border. As we speak tonight, we are removing gang members, drug dealers, and criminals that threaten our communities and prey on our very innocent citizens. Bad ones are going out as I speak, and as I've promised throughout the campaign. To any in Congress who do not believe we should enforce our laws, I would ask you this one question. What would you say to the American family that loses their jobs, their income, or their loved one because America refused to uphold its laws and defend its borders? And we must support the victims of crime. I have ordered the Department of Homeland Security to create an office to serve American victims. The office is called VOICE, Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement. We are providing a voice to those who have been ignored by our media and silenced by special interests.
We are opening an important office today as part of the ICE family. We call it the VOICE office, the Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement. ICE created the VOICE office in response to our president's executive order, entitled Enhancing Public Safety in the Interior of the United States. But the name fits. We are giving people who were victimized by illegal aliens for the first time a voice of their own. All crime is terrible, but these victims, as represented here, are unique, and they're all too often ignored. They are casualties of crimes that should never have taken place because the people who victimized them should never have been here in our country. These crimes, in many ways, were preventable. But because of years and years of policies complicating immigration and enforcement efforts and a politically correct approach to public safety, there are mothers who will never again receive a Mother's Day card from a son. There are husbands who will never again kiss their wives. There are children who will never get to graduate from high school. These victims of illegal aliens aren't data points. They're people, and they and their families deserve to be treated fairly.
All right, 24 now till the top of the hour. Now, that's from earlier today, the Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly announcing the official launch of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement's ICE Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement Office. The VOICE office will assist victims of crimes and committed by criminal aliens. We now have, if you want to talk about the 100-day success and accomplishments of the president, you cannot deny that the fact that the president has been able to reduce illegal immigration just by enforcing the laws to a 17-year low. Now, there are still too many vulnerabilities. Many conservatives I know are upset in the process of this continuing resolution that's being debated this week. The Democrats said they'd shut down the government. So President Trump said, well, I'm not going to demand the funding of the border wall now, but don't believe the fake news outlets that are telling you that I'm not going to build this wall. It's going to be built. Frankly, the sooner he builds the wall, the better. Now, then we have the issue yesterday. You have a San Francisco judge literally blocking the president's executive order that would withhold federal funds from sanctuary cities. What is a sanctuary city? Basically, they're aiding and abetting crime. Because if you're in this country illegally and a sanctuary city becomes your safe haven, you're aiding and abetting those that have broken the laws of the United States of America, especially in the case of criminal aliens. It turns out that the federal judge who blocked President Trump's sanctuary city order, well, he turns out to be a huge Obama donor. The U.S. judge is named Judge William Orrick. He issued the temporary ruling yesterday following an April 14th hearing on the case. Anyway, the Obama-appointed judge ruled that the order violated the Constitution by attempting to punish local governments by seeking to deprive local jurisdictions of congressional allocated funds without the notice of opportunity to be heard.
I mean, it just every single time. You think it's by accident that every single one of these cases on vetting of refugees, executive orders, extreme vetting, or in this case, just so happens to be the San Francisco, Hawaii, all under the jurisdiction of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals? It's another example of judge shopping that I have been talking about, you know. But this impacts, how do you feel? Well, over the course of the election, we interviewed many mothers and fathers who lost their sons and daughters by criminal aliens that killed them. In many of these cases, these criminal aliens had been in our justice system for having committed heinous crimes. One such case we've told you about in the past is the case of Grant Ronnebeck. I mean, his father, Steve, is with us now. Anyway, he's a 21-year-old man. He's murdered while working at a convenience store in Mesa, Arizona. He's killed by an illegal alien released by ICE, a criminal alien, after a conviction of burglary, kidnapping involving drug dealing, and he actually had held captive a woman and kidnapped her and held her captive for a week. He gets released back into the population. Late at night, he wants to rob cigarettes from Steve Ronnebeck's son, Grant. Grant, I guess, didn't get the cigarettes fast enough for this guy, and he killed him, dead. And we've interviewed so many other parents that have similar stories to tell. Congressman Andy Biggs is also with us. And welcome both of you back to the program. And Steve, I know you're fighting for other parents so they don't have to suffer the pain and the misery that you have been through in your life and you'll live with every day of your life. But does this give you some hope that maybe now we're beginning to get on the right track?
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Yes, it does. I tell you, it's and like Secretary Kelly said today, you know, this is a start. This is something we're going to build, and it's going to change, and it's going to keep going. It gives us all hope. We have literally a voice for our children and for our loved ones.
Well, I mean, finally it's a voice, and finally it's an opportunity. But more importantly, you know, here the president is trying to stop money to flow into sanctuary cities, which are safe havens even for criminal aliens, because they're never even arrested under those circumstances. Now, Congressman, you're a lawmaker, are you not?
I am, sir.
And why do I believe if Sean Hannity hides criminals in his house that I would be charged with aiding and abetting those that commit crimes? Wouldn't I be charged with that?
Well, you most certainly should be. Absolutely. And
so what's the difference between a sanctuary city that helps people that violated our laws and allows them to run free? Isn't that the same thing?
Well, I think that they're engaging, these folks that are doing this are engaging in criminal conduct themselves. And you know what? They're treating this as this is some kind of a right to get federal funds to do whatever they want to get these kind of grant funds. But that's not a federal right. The federal government is providing funding to do what? To enforce the laws. That's what most of these grants are for. And there's other grants for other areas that the federal government provides to cities, towns, counties, and states. When you're not in compliance with the laws of our country, why should you receive a special benefit, which is really what this is? This is not a right. It's a benefit that we're returning this money. That's the problem. And these people who are running sanctuary cities and campuses, no less, campuses throughout the country, they need to understand there is a penalty. There is a punishment. They need to be accountable for their bad conduct. I think the president's right on the mark on this, and I think there's a lot of people in Congress who feel the same way.
All right. What's it like, Steve Ronnebeck? So you get word, I assume it was probably late in the night, early in the morning. It was either a phone call or a knock on the door, right, the night that your son was killed?
No, actually, we didn't get that luxury. I actually had to find out on Fox 10 News in Phoenix what had happened at Grant's work. So I didn't get the luxury of that phone call or the knock on the door.
But all of a sudden you discover your son, the most precious thing in the world to you, is dead. Then at some point you discover that, oh, wait a minute, this guy's a criminal alien who had kidnapped a woman and held her hostage for a week, and we didn't deport this guy. What does that do to you as an individual?
Oh, it makes me mad as a hornet. Grant's death was preventable. The man shouldn't have been here in the first place. How can we, you know, let him get away with his original crimes, first of all, not sentence him to prison, let him be out walking the streets, and number two, you know, he's already been in the police with in trouble with the police a couple of weeks before he killed Grant. Why didn't they pick him up and deport him?
Exactly. Well, why did he ever get let out in the first place? Why wasn't he deported the day they took him out of jail? I mean, there's no real answer for that, is there? There's no justification for that, except those that did it were aiding and abetting a criminal. And in many ways, but for their actions, your son would be alive today.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the biggest reasons is he was able to take advantage of President Obama's illegal executive action, the Dreamer Act, because he got here when he was 14 or 15 years old. You know, and he also has children that were born here in the United States. So at that point, it didn't matter if he was a criminal. He was able to ride on the coattails of Obama.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right, we got to take a break here. 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today in memory of a young man who would have been my constituent. 2 years ago last week, 21-year-old Grant Ronnebeck was manning the counter at a Mesa, Arizona convenience store. An illegal alien walked into the store and shot Grant in the head, killing him over a pack of cigarettes that the man did not want to pay for. The illegal immigrant, Apolinar Altamirano, had been out on bond awaiting deportation due to a violent criminal history. Grant had his whole life ahead of him, but lost it because of the failure of his government to protect him from criminally violent illegal immigrants.
That was Congressman Andy Biggs talking about Grant Ronnebeck. His father, Steve, is with us, as well as Congressman Biggs. Congressman, explain what Grant's Law is.
Grant's Law is very simply this. If you are a criminally violent, illegal alien, you stay in custody until we deport you. It's that simple. Oh, that's common sense.
Well, that's what the law states. You know, and this is the whole point of this, is that we have laws and people should respect American law and sovereignty, but they don't. And you have sanctuary cities that aid and abet those people that have violated our laws. This is, you know, a bureaucracy, government officials now, as a matter of policy, circumventing the law of the land. You know, I'm just amazed that people that call themselves lawmakers feel that they have the right to do this.
Yeah, I'm bewildered. We've become a country that was founded on the basis of law. Everybody's treated equally before the law. But when you have lawmakers, people who are elected officials, deliberately going contrary to the law of the land, you provide not only the dangerous situation that we see that leads to people like Grant Ronnebeck, Kate Steinle, and others, you also perpetuate a disregard for all the laws of the land. So this is a big, big problem, and these cities and towns and their leaders, they need to be taken to task. And that's what President Trump's trying to do, and I think many in Congress have joined me. We're very supportive of that.
Let me ask you, Mr. Ronnebeck, and again, I'm sorry for the pain and the loss that you have suffered here, but let me ask you, you know, I know you're doing this for other people. Clearly, you would never, I don't think you were politically active that much prior to this. Is that true?
That's correct.
I don't have to experience this to really be able to understand at some level, you know, deep level, how horrible it is, because I've known friends of mine that have lost children. And in many cases, those parents, they never are the same again, ever. They don't come back, no matter what happens. I mean, some make it, some have their faith. How have you been able to cope? Is this work of yours that you're doing, does it help you?
Oh, yeah. What I'm doing in the activism and fighting for Grant and Grant's Law and for the other families is pretty much one of the only things that helps me deal with my grief. You know, the times that I'm not doing anything, I'm not active, you know, as far as fighting for Grant's Law or fighting against illegal immigration, you know, the depression sets in. So
I understand that.
Something that I've... Yeah,
I totally get it.
My heart is in it. My soul is in it.
All right, my friend. God bless you. It's been an honor to get to know you. I admire your fight. I really do. Congressman Biggs, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing for Mr. Ronnebeck and so many other families and victims. When we come back, News Roundup, Information Overload, straight ahead.
And we must support the victims of crime. I have ordered the Department of Homeland Security to create an office to serve American victims. The office is called VOICE, Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement. We are providing a voice to those who have been ignored by our media and silenced by special interests.
We are opening an important office today as part of the ICE family. We call it the VOICE office, the Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement. ICE created the VOICE office in response to our president's executive order entitled Enhancing Public Safety in the Interior of the United States. But the name fits. We are giving people who were victimized by illegal aliens for the first time a voice of their own. All crime is terrible, but these victims, as represented here, are unique, and they're all too often ignored. They are casualties of crimes that should never have taken place because the people who victimized them should never have been here in our country. These crimes, in many ways, were preventable. But because of years and years of policies complicating immigration and enforcement efforts and a politically correct approach to public safety, there are mothers who will never again receive a Mother's Day card from a son. There are husbands who will never again kiss their wives. There are children who will never get to graduate from high school. These victims of illegal aliens aren't data points. They're people, and they and their families deserve to be treated fairly.
Today, the United States District Court for the Northern District of California issued a nationwide injunction enjoining enforcement of Section 9A of President Trump's recently issued Sanctuary City executive order. This is why we have courts, to halt the overreach of a president and attorney general who either don't understand the Constitution or choose to ignore it. This is why San Francisco had to stand up on behalf of people everywhere, be they immigrants or native born. As Americans, we all have a duty to confront injustice even when it emanates from the White House. Because San Francisco took this president to court, we've been able to protect billions of dollars that fund life-saving programs across this country. I can't speak for the Trump administration, but I think they'd be well advised to move on to other issues and stop trying to divide communities and pit communities against each other. I think that if you read the order that was issued today, it's a fairly strong rebuke as to what has occurred so far. And we remain vigilant in making sure that we are not going to stand by and have the Constitution turned on its head.
All right, that last cut was from Dennis Herrera, San Francisco City Attorney, then, of course, the Homeland Security Secretary, John Kelly, and the president speaking out about sanctuary cities. How many mothers and fathers, like the last half hour, are going to have a knock on the door late at night or early in the morning that, oh, your son, Johnny, Susie, have been killed, and, oh, you'll find out later that they were killed by somebody that had already killed and raped or kidnapped somebody else, like in the case of Grant Ronnebeck, a guy that had kidnapped and held hostage a woman for over a week. It's unbelievable to me. Anyway, Jessica Vaughn is the director of policy studies at the Center for Immigration Studies. Dino Skaros is a presidential historian, practiced, taught, and wrote about immigration laws, the author of Grumpy Old Party, a book about what the Republicans must do to win elections. Thank you both for being with us. Now, a couple of things. So we have the California judge blocking Trump's order on sanctuary cities, which basically allows states and cities to aid and abet criminals, criminal aliens, so they can commit even more crimes. Now we have to set up, as a result of this, a new office for victims. This is what this voice group is all about that they announced earlier today. We have some facts and figures to share with you. ICE released 19,723 criminal illegals, 208 of them convicted of murder. 900 of them had committed sex crimes. And sanctuary cities free more than 2,000 illegals rather than cooperate with the feds and obey the laws of the land. Anyway, Andy Biggs, who we just had on, is pushing this end to catch and release in immigration cases. The president is saying, yeah, the wall is going to be built, even though he's not going for the funding in the continuing resolution. Kellyanne Conway said building a border wall remains a top priority. I would say it's so important in terms of how he ran for election that if the president doesn't build the wall, it would be the equivalent politically of read my lips, no new taxes not being fulfilled. Anyway, one border rancher was quoted in the American Mirror saying that illegal crossings are now down 90% because Trump became president. And by the way, the cost of the border wall, which liberals keep talking about, is 0.035% of federal spending. It's nothing. Not a lot. Jessica Vaughn, I mean, it seems to me that we've got to stop judge shopping and we've got to stop allowing cities in this country to aid and abet criminals in their attempt to violate American law and not respect American sovereignty.
Well, that's right. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of important federal judge positions that the president will have the opportunity to appoint. But, you know, we see these politicized decisions like this, and we sadly can't rely on our judicial system to uphold the rule of law in some cases anymore. Ultimately, this is a political issue, and the federal government is under Trump is going to have to go after these sanctuary cities because of the threat to public safety. It's so sadly ironic that this judge is sitting in San Francisco, where the tragic murder case that set off this whole national discussion happened, where Kate Steinle was killed by a man that San Francisco's sanctuary policy shielded and returned to the streets. Ultimately, this is going to catch up with the politicians, too. But, you know, the good thing about this ruling is that the judge actually endorsed what has already been happening by Representative John Culberson from Texas, who has the authority and is forcing DOJ to withhold some funding from some sanctuary jurisdictions, including California. The judge said it's okay to do that. So that's going to go forward. The judge just didn't like the federal government threatening to do more than what's already in the law. So at least we're going to see some consequences for sanctuaries. And I think the sanctuaries are celebrating too early. There's going to be a hammer coming down on them. Maybe they'll keep their policies, but at least they won't be subsidized by us taxpayers.
What is your reaction to this, Dino Skaros?
Thank you, Sean. First of all, I agree with Jessica. I think sanctuary cities are insane. I think the judicial branch has no business in this because it falls under the executive authority of the president. I agree that this is not going to be long-lived. It's eventually going to be overturned. And I think it's important to focus on the power of language and to introduce a term, and I hope you both can help on this. We need to stop calling illegal aliens immigrants. They are not immigrants because by federal law, an immigrant is somebody who has gone through the formal immigration process to become a legal permanent resident, commonly known as getting a green card, and or later decides to become a naturalized citizen or not. That's an immigrant. Anybody else is not an immigrant. Even legal aliens who come here as exchange students or as visitors or as temporary workers, the law specifically calls them non-immigrants to distinguish them from immigrants. The law also calls anyone who is not a citizen an alien, and of course there are legal aliens and illegal aliens, but the problem is the politically correct police comes up with a phony argument why they don't want the term illegal alien. They say alien is too offensive, never mind that that's how the law defines people. Secondly, they don't like calling people illegal. They say a person cannot be illegal. Only an act can be illegal. My solution is the term PHI, persons here illegally, because now you have distinguished them from actual immigrants and also from legal non-immigrants. And the argument goes out the window about aliens because I'm not calling them aliens and I'm not calling them illegal persons. I'm saying persons here illegally. The real reason the politically correct crowd does this is not for PC reasons. It is to conflate the statistics. It's to say, well, the immigrant community has a lower crime rate than America as a whole. Yeah, if you mean the actual law-abiding, waited online to do it right immigrants, not when you throw in gun runners and terrorists or other people who just jump the border. Then the statistics go way up high with crime. And secondly, they can say Donald Trump is anti-immigrant. Well, he's not anti-immigrant if you're talking about the real definition of an immigrant. He's not against people doing it the right way. He is against PHIs, persons here illegally, who are not immigrant. And I need we need to change the conversation immediately, because too many people are using the terms illegal immigrant or undocumented immigrant, which is an oxymoron. It's like saying meat-eating vegetarian. It just doesn't exist.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll continue with Jessica and Dino on the other side. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. All right, as we continue, our top story today, obviously the issue of the San Francisco judge and the order against, well, sanctuary cities, supporting sanctuary cities, in spite of all the crimes that have been committed by illegal immigrants that are in the justice system, end up getting released only to commit more crimes. And how do we go get away from this judge shopping issue? You know, this is one of the more frustrating aspects of this. Jessica Vaughn remains with us, as well as Dino Skouros. You know, here you have this judge, William Orrick is his name, appointed by Obama, nominated by Obama, liberal leftist activist judge, donates money to Obama during the 2008 campaign. That's a problem. Worked at the Justice Department while the Obama administration was suing Arizona over their immigration law. He blocked the release of the undercover videos on Planned Parenthood, said he will not let his political views, though, influence his rulings. Okay, that's just a lie. It's not true. It's obvious his political. He's one of these people that believes in judicial activism because his views are on display in just about every case he hears. I mean, is there any way to stop judge shopping like this?
Well, no, I don't think there is in the near term. And, you know, it's not going to get any better. It's going to be a feature of our system. It clearly was a political decision, because what he said was that, you know, the federal government is not allowed to threaten to do something that they really weren't planning on doing anyway. They set the city of San Francisco and the county of Santa Clara set up a straw man saying that Trump was threatening to withhold all federal funding, like Medicaid and Medicare, from them because of their sanctuary policies. It wasn't true. What they're talking about withholding is discretionary federal grants, where the rules say if you want federal money, you have to comply with federal law. That's what they're talking about doing. So sanctuaries, you know, maybe they end up keeping their sanctuary policy for a little while, but it's not subsidized by taxpayers. But eventually, there are other tools that I think are going to be used by the administration. The Justice Department can seek to enjoin the sanctuary policies. Congress can help by making it clear what a sanctuary policy is and that it's against the law. But ultimately, you know, when the death toll gets higher and higher, I think that citizens are finally going to say enough is enough. The human cost of this is too high.
You know, I would believe there's got to be legal culpability for judges that violate the law, aid and abet law-breaking, release criminal aliens, and then they go out and commit crimes and kill people. Why wouldn't they be held responsible for not obeying the very specific laws of the land?
They probably can under Section 1324, which is a law against harboring and shielding from detection illegal aliens.
Why do I think if I did it, I'd be arrested? I mean, we used to make such a big deal about any politician or appointee that had an illegal immigrant working for them and domestic help.
Right.
Tino?
Well, I think the bad news is it's going to be hard to hold judges legally culpable just because of how shielded they are. But the good news is I think ultimately this will be decided by the Supreme Court in the favor of law and order. I mean, I have my convictions and my points of view legally and personally on a lot of issues, from abortion to flag burning to the Second Amendment. But in most cases, I could see the other side of the argument, even if I don't agree with it. This is pure insanity. I mean, it is so cut and dry in the Constitution that how this judge ruled is insane, and how the president has authority about this, it goes beyond judicial activism. And all I have to say is thank God for Neil Gorsuch.
Let me ask you, Jessica, a lot of my conservative brethren, I give the president a lot of credit because everything that he could do, every promise that he's able to check off his list on his own, he's getting done. Some people wanted him to fight here on the continuing resolution, even though the Democrats threatened a government shutdown to begin the funding of the wall. I take the president at his word. The wall's going to get built. Would I prefer sooner than later? Yeah. Do I think Republicans in Congress are weak and timid and feckless and spineless? Yeah. But I'm pretty confident that the president means it because this is such a big promise of his.
I agree 100%. He's going to have the authority to direct spending in certain ways. And there's already, you know, the defense has already been authorized by Congress years ago and not finished. So he's got that authorization. He's going to be able to act on it. The most important thing that he's accomplished in immigration policy in these first 100 days was to end the catch-and-release policy that was incentivizing illegal immigration and causing this, this run on our southwest border, and that stopped.
Even without the wall, this is a 17-year low as it relates to illegal immigrants. All right. Thank you both. Jessica, Dino, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. When we come back, wide open telephones on this busy news edition of the Sean Hannity Show. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program. Do you feel the intensity of the times that we're living in here? I go back to what I said at the start of the program today. Paul Ryan, Matt Drudge tweets out, Paul Ryan is waiting for Pence to get sworn in as president. Now, it's great that we finally have the Freedom Caucus saying that they're going to repeal most aspects of Obamacare by the end of May, and they've got a bill that's going to lower premiums and a compromise bill that has come through, but it's sure taken a while. And the unfortunate thing is all the heavy lifting was done by the Freedom Caucus, and I'm like, why is leadership so weak and inept, and why aren't they building the coalitions that are necessary before they even release bills? It doesn't need to be this difficult and this hard. It really doesn't. Keep watching with great anticipation here. It says Kim is ready for war on the Drudge Report today. Now, do you think that's real? Because I do. I think this guy is that nuts that anything is possible. But anyway, also we have the president, Steve Mnuchin, outlining that the president wants a 15% corporate tax rate. Of course, he's talking about repatriation and getting the economy going. There's so much between this to me is how you get the economy going. Energy, independence. The president's already made the moves, the regulations against coal and energy and drilling and fracking. The president is already undoing all of those Obama-era regulations. You know, that's going to create a lot of jobs. Also, as the national security benefit, we don't have to import oil. Maybe we don't get dragged into one of these Middle Eastern conflicts that we ought not be dragged into in the beginning. But remember, it's a lot of our interest in the Middle East has always been about the free flow of energy, oil, at a decent price, because energy is the lifeblood of our economy, bottom line. But now that we know we have more natural gas that could power this country for hundreds and hundreds of years, and we have more oil, natural gas, coal than the entire Middle East combined. We don't need them. We don't need the Saudi oil. We don't need Middle Eastern oil. As a matter of fact, you know, how dumb are we that they get so filthy rich in their societies and every citizen for the most part benefits, and we have all of this energy here in this country, and we've got 95 million Americans out of the labor force, 50 million in poverty, and 50 million on food stamps. Well, even if they stayed on food stamps and in poverty, they could live a lot better than they're living now, because we'd have the money to do. We could pay off our debt, get rid of our deficits, live within our means. You know, get high-paying jobs in the energy sector once we get an energy boom going. I'm personally convinced that the Saudis purposely dropped the price of oil to stop America's energy boom that was happening in Texas, Oklahoma, and North Dakota. They did it on purpose. They manipulated the markets. I know the president talks about currency manipulation. There's energy manipulation, too. Hannity, you're paranoid again. No, I'm realistic. You think the Saudis want America energy independent? You think the Middle East wants America energy independent? No. Most of these countries hate us, and we're dependent on them because we're really stupid. How many times did Trump say during the campaign, we could be a very stupid country? We really are. Not being energy independent is at the top of the list of really stupid. When we can create... When I'm talking about jobs, there were drivers. We got jobs for drivers in North Dakota making 100 plus grand a year. Okay, coming from jobs where they're being paid $30,000, $35,000, $40,000 a year, and the cost of living is lower. And you move to North Dakota, you move to Texas, you move to Oklahoma. Now you get to buy your first home. You get a brand new truck. You can finally marry the girl of your dreams because you can afford a ring. I mean, these are life-changing jobs for people. Crazy with doing this. Katy, Texas, Tracy is standing by. Apparently, Tracy is mad at me. What did I do now? Everybody's mad at me. How are you?
I'm all right, Sean.
What could I do for you?
I don't know, Sean. I'm looking at the president right now. First of all, well, let me get to the point. I don't know if I get off track, we'll go through on a tangent. You know, the president right now is trying to reduce taxes from 35% to 15%. And I think if this gets done, the country is done for. I looked at the Bush tax cuts and I saw how we went in $20 trillion in debt. And I don't think no one's really thinking about what would happen if we really did take such a large bite out of our economy. When we look about the police, the firemen, the education, I mean, forget the other entitlements like Medicare and all that. So I really don't think that this is going to really help us, especially when you're talking about beefing up the military. I think if Donald Trump reduces, without even showing his tax, I think if Donald Trump reduces our tax rate to that, without even talking about moving loopholes, this country's going to go into a real tailspin. Because I think everything's going to be on the backs of the people. But moving on, before I move on, you know, Sean, I heard you talk about...
Can I just say something? I don't think you understand. I don't think you understand the economy.
I do understand the economy. One of the things that I heard these people talk about today is that if they link with lower taxes, they think spur.
Look at what you're missing here, though. If, for example, there's trillions of dollars of money parked offshore because American companies, multinational corporations, they don't want to bring the money here because they're going to see a third or more of it sucked up by the government. So the president's going to offer them a low rate to bring it back into the country. Now, do you think corporations just want to park it in a bank somewhere? That's not how corporations work.
It's hard
to get through to you. You don't really want to listen, do you? You don't really want to learn.
Right.
Okay, did you ever get a job from a poor person in your life?
No, I create my own jobs a lot of times.
Okay, but I'm asking a specific question. Did you ever get a job from a poor person?
That would seem not likely, no.
Not likely. So I know we demonize rich people, but when I was a dishwasher and a cook and a busboy and a waiter and a bartender, if the people didn't have the money to come to the restaurants that I worked at, I wouldn't make any money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I worked in construction and painted people's houses and hung wallpaper and laid tile and framed and roofed and did all of that work. You know, this is two decades of my life doing this kind of work. If they weren't rich enough to afford the house being painted, I wouldn't have a job, right?
Right, but Sean, what is...
All right, so here's the point.
Because
we have one of the highest corporate tax rates in the industrialized world. And what it has done, it has taken corporations and it has forced them between regulation, which is burdensome, crazy, insane environmental regulations, for example, that, you know, are putting coal miners out of work, coal companies out of business, as Hillary stated she wanted to do. You know, well, those jobs are worth a lot of money to people. Those regulations cost companies a fortune. I'm not saying you don't need any regulation. I'm saying we're so overregulated that corporations can no longer justify, you know, doing business in the U.S. How do you think the president was able to talk all of these corporations into staying and investing billions of dollars in the U.S.? Because he says he's getting rid of the regulations that impact their business and he's lowering the corporate tax rate. That means, oh, great, we can stay here. They don't want to move their plants to Mexico. They'd rather keep them here in the United States. But if the business climate and environment is such that they could barely compete or make a dollar or a profit, they're not going to stay. And the people that are going to suffer are the American workers. And I want those 95 million Americans out of the workforce that, you know, can't buy a home because it's a 51-year low home ownership rate. And those 50 million in poverty in America, 50 million, 50 million on food stamps in America. I want them to go work again. I want them to have opportunity. I want them to get a purpose in their life. I want them to be able to have the chances in life that I've had, and that is a ladder up with rungs in it so that they can climb it and succeed as high as their aspirations and their desires take them. And right now that doesn't exist in America. And it's sad because, you know, we're literally strangling off the American dream. There's no oxygen left. We need oxygen in the economy. The oxygen's not... You know, in one sense, it comes from people of all income backgrounds, whether you're in the labor market or whether you're in the investment market. We can get people to build manufacturing centers and factories and produce goods and services here in America that only benefits the people that are now and have been suffering for well over a decade in this country that have been left behind. I've always said that this is the forgotten man, forgotten woman election. Well, those are the people that I'm talking about. I don't really give a flying rip about how much profits corporations make. If they're producing goods and services that people want, need, and desire, I want them to produce them here in America, in Detroit. I want them in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee. I want them in Philly, in Pennsylvania. I want them in Cleveland, Ohio, in Cincinnati, Ohio, in Dayton, Ohio. I want those jobs created in Florida and Texas. I want it that anybody that wants a good, high-paying job with good benefits so they can live in a nice, safe neighborhood and have a nice car and go on a yearly vacation and every 3 years take their kids and suffer at Disneyland because their kids are dying to go to Disney. You know, if they want to do these things, I want them to be able to have the job that provides them the income so that they can have the money and provide these things for their kids and maybe even go out to dinner occasionally. I mean, it's so tough for so many people. All right. Virginia is in Chapel Hill in North Carolina. Isn't that the home of UNC?
Yes, sir, it is. Hello, Sean Hannity. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Go Demon Deacons.
Now, the Demon Deacons are Wake Forest, sweetie.
Yeah, I know that. That's why I said that.
Hey, I root for all of them. They're all North Carolina teams.
Yeah, that's true. That's a
good
point.
We are the Tar Heels, though.
You are the. I know who you are. I was making a little joke.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm an academic. I'm a scientist.
Yes,
I'm a
ma'am.
Feminist. I'm a registered Democrat from a very, very staunchly Democrat family. I'm pro-choice. I'm agnostic. I'm an environmentalist. And you wouldn't think I'd support Sean Hannity and Donald Trump, but I voted for Donald Trump for president. And I support you too, Sean Hannity.
God bless you. Why? How are you so open-minded if you're a feminist and a registered Dem? Because I find that I argue with some Democrats, and you can't even have a rational discussion with them because they just have no room to listen.
Well, here's the thing. I grew up in a family that my grandfather was a West Virginia coal miner, and he was a very, very hardworking man. And he told me to judge people one person at a time and to really listen to what people have to say. And he also was the kind of person who loved people, got along with everyone. I'm an NRA member. My father took me hunting when I was a kid. He had lots of guns. He was a gun dealer, a licensed gun dealer. I love guns. So I'm a little bit different than your classic
academic. Feminist, a gun...
Gun lover,
I'll say that, but I am too, by the way. And
you are. I like that very much.
I'm a big safety advocate, just so everybody knows. And you supported me and you supported Trump. How do you feel 100 days Trump in? How do you like his job, how he's doing so far?
Well, you know, I'm really worried about people who say they want to desert Donald Trump because they think he hasn't done enough and he hasn't done it quickly enough. He's up against a wall, and he needs a mighty big sledgehammer to bring down that wall. And he really needs the support of all of us who voted for him. He needs the support of Congress. And he's not getting it in many cases.
Aren't the Republicans, and I say this
they're
as a concern,
they're horrible.
They're so weak. Don't you hate weakness? I can't stand weakness.
I hate weakness. I've said that many, many times, and people think I'm harsh, but it's true. I hate weakness. And one of the things I really like about you is from the very, very beginning, you stood up for our military. You stood up for our police. You brought illegal immigration into the spotlight, and you've constantly pounded on it and talked about how it is hurting our country, and you're absolutely correct. And I can't support those kinds of things that will hurt our country. And you're always for giving people a chance, an opportunity. I think you are more open-minded than a lot of people on the right.
I think the reason you and I are bonding here is closely, you talk about your dad and coal mining. I say this to my kids because I don't want to spoil my kids. I really don't.
And that's important.
And they've had two jobs, their sport and their education in the course of their lives. And we've held them to very high standards in terms of their work ethic, et cetera. But I also think the best thing that ever happened in my life is not having money and having $200 in my pocket. Now, by the way, I can afford a team of attorneys and investigators to go after people that are slandering and smearing and lying about me and media outlets that, you know, don't do even preliminary background research and they go for cheap headlines. So I'm kind of interested in how this is all going to play out. But I got to tell you, there's something about those roots of mine and yours that impact you and never leave you. It's like an imprint in your mind and heart, right?
Kinds of roots. I love my West Virginia people, and they'll always be part of my heart. I've been in Carolina now for almost four decades. And let me very quickly say to you, don't let the left silence you. They're coming after you. Fight back. We need you. We need your voice. They play dirty. And the Democrat Party today is not the Democrat Party that I knew or my grandfather knew years and years ago. It's very different. They're clonal. They march in step. They have one ideology, one mindset, and their minds are very closed.
All right. I appreciate the call. Virginia, God bless you. There are good professors in college. Thank God you're one of them. And I think everybody should take your class.
Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today. Hollywood is under siege from an external force. Now, the same Hollywood that sold the American dream, they are now making nightmares a reality. Many major films make choices to appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Now you can join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in the Hollywood Takeover brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP exerts control over some of the major studios. Now don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free at HollywoodTakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Hey, warmer days remind us of fond summer memories. Now you can make those moments year-round with the Michael Phelps Swim Spa by our friends at Master Spas, and that combines the leisure of a hot tub with the exercise benefits of a pool. Now, Master Spas technology is incredible with LED lighting, beautiful waterfalls, and those super powerful water jets installed in just one day. You're going to love it. Proudly made in America, use the promo code Hannity in the upper right-hand corner. That's masterspas.com for up to $1,000 off. You can exercise, relax, recover with the only hot tub and swim spa brand I trust, masterspas.com.